It's nice to see the enthusiasm of all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis here. I invite you all to come to Fiji. If you could have a kirtan like that in Fiji, we'd make all the natives Krishna conscious. We go village to village. Where's Kalasongo? Still here? Yeah, why don't we rent a boat and take everybody over there to Fiji? If you row. Okay, nice to be here. So much nice enthusiasm. It's like the old days in Krishna consciousness. It reminds me of the 1960s and 70s. It's great. Fiji, New Zealand and Fiji are the best places. Fiji for the prasadam, New Zealand for the kirtans. If you want the best prasadam in the world, come to Fiji. Okay. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Yeah,
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paravrikacharya Olsutero Satoshi Shima. His Divine Grace Savaya Chabnana Vakvadanda Gosami Mahashila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Goho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sridvaita Kadadha Shiva Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shishi Radha Krishna Gopi Govinda Sayankun Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavanam Ki Jai. Maturam Ki Jai. Navadiptam Ki Jai. Jagannath Swami Ki Jai. Yamunamai Ki Jai. Shrimati Dulasi Devi Gajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gajai, Go Brahmananda Hari Hari Go. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Gajai. So today, instead of having a regular Bhagavatam class, we're going to speak about a special occasion, which is today. It's Visvarupa Mahotsava, and also it is the celebration of the sannyas anniversary of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So, Om Gana Timidanda Shah, Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshuru Meditam, Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Can everybody understand? Or is it too basic? Yeah, you got feedback, and maybe turn up the treble a little bit so people can understand, because my voice is a little bassy, and so it needs more treble. So first we'll talk about Visvarup, the transcendental brother of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So just like we have the example of Lord Krishna, who appeared 5,000 years ago. And Lord Krishna's mother was Devaki, and father was Vasudev. Actually, Krishna's mother was Yashoda, but I'm not going to get into that. That's a little bit esoteric for all of you today. But Krishna was born from Mother Yashoda, I'll just tell you that. If you have any questions, you can ask me later about it. So, just like Krishna appeared from Devaki's womb. But before Krishna appeared, there were six children who were killed by Uncle Kamsa. Because he was afraid that one of them was going to be the cause of his death. Actually, first, Kamsa was ready to let the other ones go, and he only wanted to kill the eighth. However, Narada Muni put his two cents in, and Narada Muni said, "You don't know how these guys are counting. They may be counting 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or who knows, they're very tricky. This Vishnu is very tricky. So therefore you should kill all of them." And so Narada Muni was encouraging that because he wanted to see Krishna appear, and also he understood that they were cursed previously to be killed by their father, who was previously Kalaneni, and then he took birth as Kamsa. So you have these six children killed, and then you have Balaram being transferred from Devaki's womb into the womb of Rohini, and that was done by Yogamaya. And actually, we can understand that Balaram also is the son of Rohini, and an expansion of Balaram, a little esoteric for you, was transferred from the womb of Devaki into Rohini's womb. So, in any case, because Balaram and Krishna, in their original form, only appear in Vrindavan. Outside of Vrindavan, you have Vasudev Krishna, which is an expansion of Krishna. and also expansion of Balaram, the Chaturvyuha expansions. So getting back to the story of Visvarup, Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mishra, they were the mother and father of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Visvarup. They had 8 daughters, and each one of them died right after birth. That's very intense, isn't it? You have children, and 8 of them died. So they were very much in anxiety. And then the 9th child appeared, and that was Visvarup. And Visvarup is considered to be none different than Balaram, and none different than Lord Nityananda. So it's very interesting that before Krishna appeared, that's why I'm telling the story of Krishna's appearance too, Balaram was there in the womb of Devaki to prepare for Krishna's advent. Because Balaram, Nityananda, is always serving the Supreme Personality of God in various ways. Like you have this nice Singhasana here. It's not a Shringasana, it's a Singhasana. Most devotees pronounce it improperly. They say Shringasana. It's Singhasana, which means a lion throne. So this throne of the deities, and the deities' clothes, and the deities' Brahman thread, they're all considered expansions of Balaram. In fact, this very floor that you're sitting on is an expansion of Balaram. So don't put your feet on the floor. It's a little dangerous, isn't it? Anyway, but it's Balaram, so that's why it's very important to keep the temple clean, as we chant every morning, what Mandira Marjanado. The spiritual master is engaged along with his disciples in cleansing the temple. So it's the same thing the prophet said as deity worship. So Balaram prepares the scene for Krishna to appear in the same way Visvarup prepared the scene for Lord Chaitanya to appear from the womb of Sachi Mata. So Visvarup was a natural devotee, of course. He's Lord Nityananda. Can't get more natural than that. So he was a natural devotee from his very birth and very detached from this world. I mean, extremely detached from this world. And he would spend, after he grew up a little bit, he would spend most of his time with Advaitacharya. Even his mother wanted him to come home. He would always go back to Advaitacharya's house after eating a quick meal. So this is very important because this involves an offense that Sachimata made against Advaitacharya. Because Visvarup was always there, she blamed him for his renunciation. And later on she said things that were, let's say, extremely offensive against Advaitacharya. So what happened is that one day Visvarup was in his room in Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata's house, and he overheard them talking about something. What were they talking about? Does anyone know? What? Does anyone know the story? They were talking about arranging their son's marriage. In those days, marriages were arranged. And in every village, they had a matchmaker. We should have one here. They had a matchmaker. In other words, someone who arranged the matches. You just call them up on the phone and say, "My dear matchmaker, I have a daughter, I have a son, you know, please arrange something." And next day, they got something. So they were talking about the matchmaker, and Visvarup overheard this. And as a result, he said, "This material world is miserable. I'm not going to get entangled in this world." And what he did is he left home immediately in the middle of the night and became the sannyasi known as Shankaranya Swami. And later on, he left this world in Pandapura in India. And of course, what's that? You know about Pandapura? That's where that's where Tukaram's place is. Everyone's heard of Tukaram? Tukaram. So he left his body there, and later Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his tours of South India, discovered that. However, when he took sannyas, Mother Sachi blamed Advaitacharya for being bad association for her son. And she was really angry at Advaitacharya. So later, when little Nimai, who is Nimai? Vaishuttana. That's right. When little Nimai was going to see a Dvaitacharya too, and spending all of his time with a Dvaitacharya, she got so angry, she called a Dvaitacharya a cheat. She said that this Advaitacharya, he's called Advaita, which means non-dual, means one. Advaita, before the prefix before a word, means the negation of that word. Like, a-karma means without karma. You know that from Bhagavad Gita. So Advaita means without duality. But it also means, like the word Dvaita could mean someone who is a cheat. We say sometimes two-faced. Any of you heard that expression? He's two-faced. He's a cheat. So basically, Sati Mata said that he's a cheat because he has cheated me out of my son, Visvarup. And now he's going to cheat me out of my second son, Nimai. So she committed this offense. So later on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at Srivastava's house, and he was giving love of God to everybody. And he was, you should have love of God, Srivastava. And everybody was wondering, why isn't Mother Sachi getting love of God? Srivastava said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why not give Mother Sachi love of God? And Lord Chaitanya said, no, she'll never get. And everyone was astounded. How can she never get love of God? She is your mother. You know, the mother of God doesn't get love of God. Krishna Prema, that's pretty strict. Lord Chaitanya is very strict. And Lord Chaitanya said, because she has committed a great offense against Advaitacharya. And when Advaitacharya heard this, he thought, how could she commit offense against me? She's the mother of the whole universe. She's mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he practically tried to touch her feet. But she bowed at Advaitacharya's feet and begged for forgiveness. And then Lord Chaitanya said, she can now have love of God. So the moral of that particular story is that if you commit an offense, even you may be the mother of God, you will lose your devotional status. Even if you have a bona fide spiritual master. Sometimes people think the spiritual master can protect me against offenses. Oh, Prabhupada's my guru, therefore I can commit all sorts of offenses. Go on the internet and criticize. Just like you see, you shouldn't see. But just like, don't see. You go on the internet and there's all these websites. Vaishnava Ninda Net. Ninda means offenses. How to offend Vaishnavas in 108 ways without even trying. Isn't it? So many offenses you can... they're even publishing magazines that are ostensibly to glorify Prabhupada, and then they have pages about different Vaishnavas committing offenses against different Vaishnavas. I was featured in one of the recent magazines. But I was happy because I was thinking, why don't they talk about me? I was feeling... a little neglected. So they gave a whole page about me, and I'm distributing it to everybody. So the point is your guru can't protect you against offenses. And even Krishna can't protect you against offenses. Like that story of Durvasa and Ambarish. Durvasa committed an offense against Ambarish, which was a pretty bad offense. He tried to kill him. And then Shudarshan Chakra was chasing all over the place, trying to immolate, kill, burn Durvasa Muni. And what happened? Durvasa finally went to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu said, I can't do anything about it. It may be my chakra, but I can't control him right now, because you've committed an offense against my great devotee, Maharaj Ambarish. So ultimately, Durvasa Muni had to go and beg forgiveness at the feet of Ambarish Maharaj. And then he was forgiven. Because Prabhupada said, sometimes even a Vaishnava may forgive you, but the dust of his feet may not forgive you. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? So when you ask for forgiveness, take the dust. Don't just say, I'm sorry. That doesn't work. go to the feet, take the dust, eat a little bit of it. Won't hurt you. It's like when I was walking with Prabhupada, I would eat the sands from the beach that he walked on. Didn't hurt me. I'm still alive today. So this is another injunction is that even the guru can fall down if his disciple commits an offense. Pretty heavy, isn't it? Even the guru can fall down if a disciple offends another Vaishnava. So the gurus have to be very careful to instruct their disciples in this. Be very careful. Vadanvi sarvananamate. That not only applies to the guru, but to any Vaishnava. We should be very cautious how we approach them. Sarvadan means caution. You see that in India, the road signs sometimes. Sarvadan, but nobody does that in India. You understand? Sarvadan means go faster in India. Those who know Hindi know what I'm talking about. Sava, all caution. Instead, full speed ahead. So, anyway, so that's another lesson we can learn. Then, after Viswarup took sannyas, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's parents became very disturbed because they were thinking, maybe Nimai will take sannyas. But Nimai, who's Lord Chaitanya, assured them, I will never take sannyas. I will actually always protect you. He even had one dream. Lord Chaitanya had one dream. Right after, he had that dream after he ate some betel nuts. Does everyone know what betel nuts are? They're intoxication. You offer them to the deities, but you are not supposed to take them. Krishna takes them. Sometimes he exchanges them with Srimati Radharani. But that's the spiritual world. Krishna also drinks honey wine. But you should not drink wine. In the Acharya's writings, we find descriptions of Radha and Krishna dancing and drinking honey wine, and sometimes they have the cup upside down and they try to pour the honey wine into the cup and it just pours out all over the place. They're so intoxicated and their eyes are rolling. But that's the spiritual world. So Lord Chaitanya took this betel one time and he had some dream. And after, in that stream, he saw his brother Viswarup beckoning to him. Come with me, come with me. And in the dream, he told Viswarup, no, I have to take care of my mother and father, and later on I will get married, so you go away. And then Viswarup said to him in the dream, give my blessings to my mother and father. And so Lord Chaitanya woke up, told his mother and father the dream, and they were very happy to hear that he was going to stay. But still they were so worried that he was going to take sannyas, they decided to take him out of school. This is a story in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. They wouldn't let Lord Chaitanya go to school because they thought if Lord Chaitanya went to school, he would learn about renunciation and how temporary this material world is. Like we have the story of Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha was protected by his parents. He was not allowed to go out because they were afraid, based on the astrological calculation, that he would see that people died, that he would see that people got old, he would see that people got sick, and also birth. So they protected him. One day he got out and he left. So Lord Chaitanya's parents were similarly very worried. And they forbade Lord Chaitanya from going to school. So Lord Chaitanya became more of a rascal at that time. It's described that instead of going to school, he and his associates would go into the banana plantations and dress up as bulls, you know, put sort of blanket over their heads and just like trample all the banana trees. And they would go outside people's houses and destroy things. And then finally, Lord Chaitanya did something that really aggravated his mother. He sat on a pile of rejected cooking pots. In those days, the cooking pots were made of clay. They didn't have stainless steel or anything like that. And the cleanliness meant that after cooking once, you throw away. Interesting, isn't it? We can't do that with steel, obviously. It'd be too expensive. But Prabhupada said, as far as the cleanliness with the steel or iron pots, they have to be so clean that if the bottom has a little black in it, it's dirty. Prabhupada said it's horrible. So those of you who are engaged in the kitchen, this may come as a shock to you, but Prabhupada's standard was that the bottom of the pot even should shine. You should be able to see yourself in the bottom of the pot. Such is the high standard of cleanliness that Prabhupada wanted for the deity worship. So Lord Chaitanya was sitting on these rejected pots, and his mother said, "Get down. Why are you sitting on them?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "You're not sending me to school. How do I know the difference between what is pure and impure?" And basically, Lord Chaitanya also said, "Because I'm God, everything is pure for me." So he was sort of revealing in the mood of this incarnation of Krishna known as Dattatreya that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So ultimately, his parents let him down. And everyone was encouraging them too. They said, "Our children, we have to force to go to school, but Lord Chaitanya, or Nimai, he wants to go to school, so let him go to school." So this is another very interesting story. Another story about Viswaroop, and then we'll get on to Srila Prabhupada's sannyas, that Viswaroop, even when he was very young, was highly educated. One time he went with Jagannath Mishra, his father, to an assembly of pandits or Brahmins. And they asked him, "How much do you know?" And he says, "I know everything." And his father was so upset with him that he gave him a little slap on the way back. And then later, he went alone to these pandits and said, "Look, I got slapped by my father, so I'm going to get even with you. So ask me some questions and I'll answer them." So they asked him some questions. He answered them, and then he refuted his own answers. You understand? He gave the answers, and then he showed why his answers weren't correct, and gave other answers, and the pandits were amazed. So this is Viswaroop. So he's, as we mentioned in the beginning of class, he is also Balaram Nityananda. So we actually worship Viswaroop. And we need his mercy because he is the original guru, the original spiritual master. So today is a celebration of his appearance. It's called Viswaroop Mahotsava. And then we'll start talking about Srila Prabhupada's sannyas, which is very inspiring for me, because I took sannyas too. Maybe not so inspiring for you grahasthas, but it's inspiring for me. So Srila Prabhupada, let's go back a few years with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was a successful businessman, but Krishna arranged that everything was taken away in his business. Because Prabhupada's original intention was to make so much money so he could publish books and do preaching around the world. His intention was always to carry out the order of a spiritual master, even as a grahastha. And so he wanted to do that with money and preaching, which he did extensively. And he also wanted to engage his wife and family in preaching. So Prabhupada would regularly invite people over his home in order to preach. But his wife was not cooperative. She would take the feather duster, that's a vacuum cleaner in the old days, she would take the feather duster and blow dust in his guests' faces. As he was trying to preach, she would go whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And they would go, and Prabhupada would be looking at her, you know, "What kind of wife did I marry?" Even at one point, before that, he was thinking, because polygamy was allowed in India at that time, he was thinking, "Maybe I should have a nicer wife too who will cooperate with me." And he went to his father, Gormohan Day, and he said, "Dad, do you think it's a good idea?" And his father said, "It's a lousy idea. Because your wife right now is fantastic. She'll encourage you to be renounced. You'll never be attached to her." I'm not saying that all wives should do that with their husbands. You know, just don't make rotis. You know, blow dust in their faces. And so this, and tell them that you're doing that for their benefit. It's not really what Prabhupada wanted for his followers. So this actually came true. And she even sold Prabhupada's books, Bhagavatams, for tea biscuits, and she even said to Prabhupada, when Prabhupada asked her, who do you like more, or what do you want, me or tea? And Prabhupada, and she said, I want tea. Don't need you so much. So Prabhupada, it was painful for Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was having this dream over and over again, where his guru, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, would come and beckon to him, come on, take sannyas. And Prabhupada commented that he was horrified when he heard this or saw this dream. Of course, this is a pastime. We understand it's Srila Prabhupada's pastime. The Shaktivesh avatars sometimes dramatically act like conditioned souls in order to teach us something about this world. So then Prabhupada took Vanaprastha, and he was preaching everywhere, but there was a problem. The problem was he was working on Back to Godhead, distributing Back to Godhead, but then after a while he had no more money to publish Back to Godhead, because he was traveling back and forth between Vrindavan and Delhi, back and forth, and after a while the money ran out and the printer didn't want to print anymore. And so therefore he went to the Vamsi Gopalji Temple, which is the first residence of Prabhupada in Vrindavan. Has anyone here ever been to the Vamsi Gopalji Temple? No? When you go to Vrindavan, please visit this temple. It's a very, very small temple in an alleyway, and Prabhupada's room, original room in Vrindavan, is there, before he moved into the Radha Damodar Temple. So he was sitting there, and then as he was sitting there, he composed this poem that I'm going to read right now. It's called Vrindavan Bhajan. Because he was feeling, I have this order from my spiritual master to preach Krishna consciousness in the Western world. In fact, that was the first thing that Prabhupada heard from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When Prabhupada first met him, the first thing that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if you are educated boys, you should preach this Krishna consciousness in English. And that's a shock. You know, someone walks into your class and the first thing you hear from the guru, preach in English in the Western world. And at that time, Prabhupada was a follower of Mahatma Gandhi. He was wearing this khadi or a cloth that was hand loomed. And so Prabhupada had some discussion and then he was convinced. But then it took about 11 years until Prabhupada took initiation. But Prabhupada accepted his guru from the very beginning. But that order to preach in the West was given to practically all of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples who could speak English. But Prabhupada was the one who took it as his life and soul. That's the difference. That also teaches us the order of the guru should be taken as one's life and soul. And one should be free from fear, free from anxiety, and completely understanding ananyas chintayanto mam yajanak payupasate tesham nityavayukta mam yogakshem vahamiham, that if you do this, everything is taken care of. What you lack will be taken care of. Krishna will carry what you like and will preserve what you have. So Prabhupada had this conviction, but he was lamenting, I have no money. He even previously, when he was Vanaprastha, he tried to get a passport. He had no money to get a passport. He had no money to apply for a visa. And so he was sitting there and he composed this very nice Bengali poem, Vrindavan Bhajan. I'll read this. I'm sitting alone in Vrindavan Dham. In this mood, I am getting many realizations. I have my wife, sons, daughters, grandsons, everything, but I have no money. So they are a fruitless glory. Krishna has shown me the naked form of material nature. It's an amazing poem. By his strength, it has all become tasteless to me today. That's renunciation. Tasteless. Just imagine the thing that you like to eat the most. Tasteless. Yashaham anugrinami harishe tadvinam shanai. I gradually, Prabhupada is quoting from the Bhagavatam, I gradually take away all the wealth of those upon whom I am merciful. Don't worry about that, because it won't be that merciful to you. If you engage your wealth in Krishna's service, he won't take it away. But if you're like Prabhupada, meant to take sannyas, that's a different thing. How was I able to understand this mercy of the all-merciful, this Prabhupada's words? Everyone has abandoned me. seeing me penniless. Wife, relatives, friends, brothers, everyone. This is misery, but it gives me a laugh. I sit alone and laugh. It's interesting, isn't it? Because when you have money, everyone's your friend. Like if someone comes in here who's very rich, let's say Bill Gates, he walks in, we'll all offer our obeisances to him in Guru Puja. But if someone with no money, oh, get him out of here. So Prabhupada was saying, this is misery, but it gives me a laugh. In other words, Prabhupada, what was I so attached to before? This is, it's like a drop of water, kamala dala jala jivana talamala, like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. In this maya samsara, whom do I really love? Where is my loving father and mother gone now? Where are all my elders who are my own folk? Who will give me news of them? Tell me who. All that is left of this family life is a list of names. As the froth on the seawater mixes again in the sea, Maya's samsara play is just like that. No one is mother or father or personal relative. Just like the sea foam, they remain but a short time. Just as the froth on seawater mixes again in the sea, the body is made of five elements and it meets with destruction. How many bodies does the embodied soul take in this way? His relatives are all related merely to his temporal body. Yeah, but everyone is your relative, brother, on the spiritual platform. This is a wonderful poem. Prabhupada is just an amazing poet. This relationship is not tinged with the smell of Maya. The Supreme Lord is the soul of everyone. In relation to him, everyone in the universe is the same. All your relatives, brother, all the billions of jivas, when seen in relation to Krishna, they are all in harmony. Forgetting Krishna, the jiva desires sense gratification. And as a result, he is firmly grasped by Maya. It's an amazing poem, isn't it? And there's another poem by Prabhupada I'd like to read that I saved here. Just give me 1 second to find it. This is another poem called Viraha Astika, where Srila Prabhupada was lamenting the separation from his spiritual master and the order that he got from his spiritual master. Viraha means separation. Astika means eight. He says, O Srila Prabhupada, you were always compassionate towards the suffering jiva souls. On this occasion of your separation, I see only dejection. An unlimited ocean of mercy, cunning and illusion. Nityananda distributed an ocean of flood of love of Godhead. The Jati Gosai stopped the stream. Jati Gosai means the hereditary Goswamis. Like if you go to India today, in Vrindavan, you'll find different Goswamis in charge of the temples, and they're not sannyasis. And many of these Goswamis, the Goswami families, they sold the property of the deities. Originally, the main temples in Vrindavan, owned all of Loy Bazaar. Does everyone know where Loy Bazaar is? Yes, everyone knows. Prabhupada said Krishna is everywhere in Vrindavan, but he's not in Loy Bazaar. Why? Because the devotees would spend all their time shopping. Shop till they drop in Loy Bazaar. So when you go to Vrindavan, you can shop a little bit. But don't spend 3 weeks shopping for saris. Anyway, let's continue with this. Srila Prabhupada, you were always compassionate. The Jati Gosai stopped the stream, but coming yourself, Lord, you revealed this illusion. So once again, everyone was immersed in the love, flood of love. Even one so fallen, insignificant, and sinful as I, hence Prabhupada's humility. On the strength of Lord Chaitanya's order, you sent all of your servants door to door as gurus. There was preaching everywhere, from the sea to the Himalayas. Now in your absence, everything is in darkness. Oh, Srila Prabhupada, this is Prabhupada, of course, referring to his guru. O Srila Prabhupada, you were always compassionate towards the suffering jiva souls. On this occasion of your separation, I see only dejection. In the same way that Advaita Prabhu brought Lord Chaitanya, so did Bhaktivinoda Thakur pray. His enthusiasm brought you. On the strength of his enthusiasm, you came. And everyone in India, you made to understand that it is a holy land. One who takes his birth in the land of Bharat Varsha must make his life perfect and then preach to others. This Maha Mantra message you preached everywhere. Now in your absence, Lord, everything is in darkness. Your ocean of compassion has again been stopped. This spear of great misery has cut through my heart. Without Lord Chaitanya's message, there is just confusion. Seeing this, all the Vaishnavas feel pangs of separation. The conditioned souls are all in darkness. They are dying or searching for peace, but are dying in an ocean of anxiety. O Srila Prabhupada, you are always compassionate towards the suffering jiva souls. On this occasion of your separation, I see only dejection. It's very heavy. The reason for that was that when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was present, the Gaudiya Math was expanded. 64 maths are all over India. It was a dynamic preaching institution. But most of the followers of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ignored his order, to form a GVC when he left the planet. Instead, each individual sannyasi tried to become an acharya in his own mouth. And as a result, there was fighting, court battles, and the preaching stopped. Stopped completely. Practically completely. There was some preaching going on. So Srila Prabhupada was very much dejected to see this. And we understand that Srila Prabhupada's order is that we work cooperatively. Prabhupada was very much against this math consciousness, or what we had many years ago was the zonal acharya consciousness, or guru fanaticism, guru groups. This, if we had that, which we don't, fortunately, this would actually destroy our society. Everyone is meant to be unified under Srila Prabhupada's banner, accepting Srila Prabhupada's siksha as his ultimate siksha or instruction. And regardless of which guru we have, we are all brothers and sisters. We do not want any sectarianism. Like, my guru is the best. No, my guru is the best. In the Gaudiya Math, it got to the extent where two disciples were singing different pranam mantras for their gurus, and there was a fight in front of the deities. A fist fight. Like that. So what we want in this God is this unity and working under Srila Prabhupada's direction and the direction of particularly the GBC, Governing Body Commission. And this keeps us all together. Adherence to Srila Prabhupada, adherence to Srila Prabhupada's managerial system. So Prabhupada felt very helpless at that time. And he was thinking, how can I carry out this mission given me by my spiritual master? So then Prabhupada had a dream shortly after that, the same dream he had before, in which Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared to him and told him to take sannyas. He said, come on, take sannyas, it's time. And Prabhupada was wondering, this is the same instruction I got before, this is the same dream I've had many times before. But then he was thinking, how can I take sannyas? So what he did is he consulted with Tirtha Maharaj, one of his godbrothers, who was in charge of the Chaitanya Math. And Tirtha Maharaj said to Prabhupada, basically, we'll talk about sannyas later. And if you want to publish some books, we have so many other books, you just wait a little while. But Prabhupada was determined to take sannyas. The reason he was determined to take sannyas was because for preaching, at least in India, sannyas is very much respected. Prabhupada had seen many cheater sannyasins before. When Prabhupada was young, he was a householder, and he had one man who dressed as a sannyasi during the day and a grahastha at night, who lived next to him. In the morning, he would kiss his wife goodbye, put on a saffron dhoti, and for those of you who don't know, this upper part of the saffron dhoti is meant for begging. So the bigger you have, the more begging you can do. And obviously it's not meant for gold and jewelry and stuff like that. It's meant for grains, because people would traditionally give grains to this guy. So this man would go out, and he would collect everything, bhiksha, bhiksha, and then in the evening, he'd bring it all back to his wife, change back into his white dhoti, and be happy. So Prabhupada saw all these cheating sannyasis, and also when Prabhupada was young, the sannyasis would come to Prabhupada's house, and they would ask Prabhupada's father to buy them ganja. Gaur Mohan Day said to the sannyasi, "What can I get for you?" And they said, "Oh, get me some ganja." You all know what ganja is? No. For those of you who don't know, it's marijuana. A prophet said the hippies learned their marijuana taking from the Indian sadhus. We have that to thank them for. And even sometimes when I go to India, I circumambulate a temple, let's say a temple of Lord Shiva, and the sadhus are all smoking. And because they recognize me as a sadhu, they offer to me. They say, "Maharaj, Mahaprasad for you." And I say to them, "It's a Kadashi. Any other day would be okay, because I don't want to offend them. They're Braja bosses." But Prabhupada understood the necessity of sannyasa. What is the necessity of sannyasa? Let me explain what it is. It's not just that you put on saffron robes and eat all the Mahaprasadam, and you get respect, you get your feet bathed wherever you go, free feet bathing. What it is, it's a declaration of complete dedication to the spiritual master's order. That's really the essence of sannyasa, a.k.a. Hakuta Nandana, as described by Krishna in the Gita. So I took sannyasa in 1978. And the reason I took sannyasa is because when Prabhupada left the planet, I read in the fourth canto, part four of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where it says that one who becomes dedicated to the order of the spiritual master after the spiritual master leaves the planet, he sees the super soul. The super soul appears before him. In other words, that's the point. That when the spiritual master leaves the planet, one would prefer to leave himself or herself if they can't fulfill the mission of the spiritual master. So for me, sannyasa meant a dedication, a complete dedication without any other interest to Srila Prabhupada's mission. So Prabhupada saw it in the same way. So as I mentioned, he approached Bhaktivilas Tirtha, who was formerly Kunja Bihari, and he asked him for sannyas, and he was discouraged in asking for sannyas, because he just wanted, Bhaktivilas Tirtha Maharaj just wanted Prabhupada to reside there in his ashram, and he said, "We'll give you a nice room with a lot of air." And Prabhupada said, "What is the use of a nice room with a lot of air? I want to carry out Bhakti." And remember, Prabhupada was about 70 years old. He wasn't a young man. And when we get to be 70, there's the inclination, I can tell you that, from the body. I'm not 70 yet. But definitely there's more of an inclination to, as they say in Spanish, tomar la suave. Anyone understand Spanish here? No. No. That's my second language. Tomar la suave. It means take it easy. So there's an inclination, all right, I've done so much service for Krishna. Oh, now it's time just to relax, drink my nectar drink, and get ready to go back to Godhead. Remain in Vrindavan. So there's that inclination. Even when I go to Govardhan, I think, all right, let me just stay here, the hell with the rest of the world. So Prabhupada was 70, older than most of us here. But Prabhupada would say, what's the use of a nice room? I just want to satisfy my guru. That was his whole focus. Because Vishwanath Chakravarti said, Chakravarti Thakur said in his, of course, Guru Bhashtaka, Yasha Prasada, Bhagavat Prasada, Yasha Prasada, Na Gati Kutopi, in which we chant every morning. So Prabhupada didn't accept this proposal. He was discouraged. So he kept working with his typewriter, which was broken. He didn't even, in those days they had manual typewriters. I don't know if any of you have seen a manual typewriter. It's not a computer, but you got to press down on the keys. And it was broken, and Prabhupada just had typing these manuscripts, and sometimes his manuscripts were even stolen. You know, he had actually translated the whole Bhagavad Gita, and the first Bhagavad Gita translation was stolen from Prabhupada. And so Prabhupada understood, without taking sannyas, and without printing books, without going to the West, his life had no meaning. In other words, his only meaning in his life was to serve his guru in this particular way. So then Srila Prabhupada remained in Vrindavan for some time, even after getting discouraged by his godbrother. And then he turned next to Keshava Maharaj, his other godbrother. And he said to Keshava Maharaj, what do you think of me taking sannyas? And Keshava Maharaj said, immediately take sannyas. So it's the opposite of what Tirtha Maharaj said. Tirtha Maharaj said, just stay in the nice airy room, enjoy life, you're an old man now. As far as going to the West, we don't have the money. Publishing books, you know, that's a dream. And Keshava Maharaj said, okay, immediately take sannyas. And Prabhupada said that he saw this as his spiritual master speaking to him. Of course, first Prabhupada was like shocked by this. Naturally, if someone tells you to do something, you think about it for a second. So Prabhupada's thinking, should I actually take sannyas? But he said, Keshava Maharaj said, and these are his words, Bhaktivedanta Prabhu, you must do it. Without accepting the renounced order of life, nobody can become a preacher. Of course, that's in India, and that's in a particular context. You all can become preachers and should become preachers, and you don't have to take sannyas. Hiva vipra kivanyasi shudakinana ye krishna tatvaveta se guru hai. But in Srila Prabhupada's position, that was very unique. Everyone should preach. Someone asked me the other day, how long will it take to become Krishna conscious? And my reply was, oh, quite a few lifetimes. Bahunam janma namamte ganavamam prabhajate vasudeva sarvaviti samahatma sudrila. That's Krishna's statement. I'm just repeating Krishna's statement. Don't blame me for it. But if one preaches Krishna consciousness, then very quickly, or assists in the preaching, one way preaching or assisting in the preaching, then it is very quick. Then you get special. Like Prabhupada said to me, when I presented Prabhupada with one devotee who had distributed 10,000 books in 1 month, 10,000 Bhagavad Gitas in 1 month, Prabhupada said, he is the mercy of Krishna. And I was so envious that I was thinking, and Prabhupada heard my thoughts, but what about me? You know, I'm the temple president. I arranged the Sankirtan marathon. I'm working hard too. And Prabhupada looked at me and he said, everyone has the mercy of Krishna. He said, but those who go out and preach, they're like the gopis. So then you understand? Prabhupada compared the preaching to be like on the highest platform. So, you know, I had Krishna's mercy, but not enough. So that's really the point, that if you preach, everyone should be a preacher, and somewhere to distribute books, go on Harinam, distribute prasadam, assist in the preaching in the temple here, and then you very quickly go back to God. But if you just sit down and try to be Krishna conscious, it's going to take many lifetimes. Like if you go to Radhakund and you just sit, oh, gopi, 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 gopi. It's going to take many lifetimes. In fact, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says if you go to Radhakund prematurely, it'll become Narakakund for you. You'll have hellish consciousness. You'll commit offenses. So therefore, this is Yuga Dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan. So then, Prabhupada accepted. Prabhupada even said unwillingly he accepted the order of his godbrother. So he took sannyas in this place called the Keshavaji, Gaudiya Math, which is in the middle of Mathura. And in that math, there's a deity of Lord Chaitanya that Prabhupada personally dedicated to there. And Prabhupada entered dressed in white and left dressed as a sannyasi. And if anyone has seen this picture of Prabhupada when he took sannyas, anyone seen the picture of him with Keshava Maharaj and the other sannyas, Sanatana, his other sannyas godbrother, he looks like a tiger. Like a sannyas staff is like his gun or something like that. Prabhupada is standing there like, to challenge the whole world. I mean, ferocious look on his face. And so, this was on the morning of September 17th, 1959. And there were a few devotees there witnessing this whole thing. Of course, the deities were there too, and the pictures of the disciplic succession, and his godbrother Sanatan took sannyas, who was 90 years old at that particular time. And Prabhupada gave the lecture. Now, usually if you're taking sannyasa, you're taking initiation, you don't give a lecture. You know, it'd be like if I was giving initiation, let's say Krishna Chandra. Okay, your name is Krishna Chandra, you give the lecture. Wouldn't that be highly unusual? You know, I'm sitting there, you give the lecture. So Keshava Maharaj had Prabhupada give the lecture at his own initiation, sannyasa initiation. And he gave the lecture in English. And remember, no one spoke English there except for Keshava Maharaj. You know, this is, even today in Mathura and Vrindavan, it's hard to find someone who speaks English. Of course, you go to Vrindavan now, it's filled with Westerners, with high-rise buildings, you know, 20-story buildings, who are trying to go back to Godhead by taking an elevator. You know, Vrindavan, when I went, was like a small village. You know, when I first went to Vrindavan, like 72 or something, it was a small village where the temple was. It was just horse-drawn carts, no rickshaws, you know, maybe bicycle rickshaws, but it was like, it was out in the jungle. So now it's different. But in those days, no one spoke English, and Prabhupada spoke in English. He gave the lecture. Unfortunately, I don't have a copy of that lecture. It would be nice to have. And then after that, he received all the paraphernalia of sannyas. When one takes sannyas, one gets new neck beads, a new undergarments, and of course the dhoti. And the sannyas that Prabhupada took was the sannyas that was started by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because previously in the Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the sannyas, when one took the renounced order of life, was like a babaji, very short dhoti. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he went to South India to study from the Ramanuja Sampradaya their method of sannyas, with the danda and everything like that. And so he copied their method, the saffron cloth. The danda is a little different that we use. The tree danda is a little bit different. And for preaching Krishna consciousness. And that was the point. That's the whole purpose of taking sannyas. Not to become a babaji. There was only one babaji that Prabhupada made when he was on the planet. Did you know that? I had a friend, and the doctor said, "You have terminal cancer." And he went to Prabhupada. "Prabhupada, what should I do?" Prabhupada said, "Go to Vrindavan and become a Babaji." You know, he's supposed to die in 3 months. So then he went to Vrindavan, took on the Babaji Vesh, that means the dress of the Babaji, and was chanting. And then they discovered he didn't have cancer, it was a misdiagnosis. Then he came back to the West, got married, and lived happily ever after. So that was the only Babaji Prabhupada ever made. he's a friend of mine. I know him quite well. Of course, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur made one or two Babajis like Krishnadas Babaji, but he was real Babaji. Did anyone here ever meet Krishnadas Babaji? No one here ever met him. He was a wonderful person. He would always be chanting Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. If you asked him any question, he would start laughing at you and chanting. You say, "Maharaj, would you like some prasadam?" Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. What do you think about politics? Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. So he was a real Babaji. He was just a wonderful personality. I remember his association. So Keshava Maharaj basically didn't give any instructions to Prabhupada, but just encouraged him to go on preaching Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada took this very, very seriously. And let's see what else I want to add about this. There was an article in the Gaudiya magazine about this, and it said, "Seeing accepting his ashram of renunciation, seeing this pastime for accepting the renounced order of life, we have attained great affection and enthusiasm." So Prabhupada really fulfilled the actual purpose of sannyas. And shortly after that, Prabhupada moved to the Radha Damodara temple, composed the first 3 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, got them printed by approaching people like Sumati Moraji and others, finally got his passport, got the visa, got the P form, the permission to leave India, and left India showing the real principle of a sannyas, which is Abhaya Shatra Sham Shuddhi Jnana Yoga Vavastati. Abhaya means freedom from fear, just like Prabhupada's name was Abhaya Shananavavinda. One who has taken shelter with the Lord's lotus feet, no fear. So Prabhupada went to America without any money. Oh, $10 worth of rupees, which he never changed because there was no black market at that time. You understand? Now there's a black market. You can change. But that he couldn't change them. All he had was a few cases of books, complete dependence, freedom from fear, abhaya, sattva, samshuddhi, established in transcendence. Jnana yoga, yavastitihi. That means in complete knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is the real principle of sannyas. So Prabhupada showed us what a real sannyasi is. And when Prabhupada, just one final thing, when Prabhupada first started the movement, he expected that same move from all of his disciples, brahmachari sannyasis, and even ladies. He would send people out to preach Krishna consciousness after 6 months in the movement. I went to open up a temple after 6 months in the movement, and they sent me with 2 cases of books and no money. That was the mood then. And I sat down, and I chanted Hare Krishna, and Krishna took care. I didn't starve to death. I'm still here today. I had nowhere to stay. It was a college town, and I stayed in different places every night. And somehow or other, we preached Krishna consciousness. And then later on, Prabhupada sent people to South America. I was one of them. And we preached Krishna consciousness in South America, opened up a whole new continent. And then you have great devotees like Srila Tamal Krishnamars who were sent to China. Like, of course, there's a whole story about that, where Prabhupada wanted to do something with him because the Radha Damodar Party was causing a little bit of friction in the United States. They were stealing devotees. Luckily, you don't have the Radha Damodar Party here. They would come in the middle of the night and take all the men away. So the next morning, for morning class, would be just the ladies. So so Prabhupada presented to Srila Tamal Krishnamars that the temple presidents were naturally very upset. And Tamal Krishnamars says, what do they want me to do? You know, go to China or something like that? And then a few hours later, Prabhupada called for him and said, you had a very good idea. And Tamal Krishnamurti said, I was just joking, you know, I was just joking. And Prabhupada said, no, Krishna spoke through your mouth. You're going to China. And he said, you either stay here in Mayapur and just chant, no other service, or you go to China. So he went to China in the same way that, you know, Prabhupada came to the Western world. And so now we have so many Chinese devotees. He's a nice devotee. He's not here around Govinda, who all you know, who arranged for the first printing of Prabhupada's Gita in China and risked his own life in order to do that. So we had devotees. The point is we had devotees risking their lives and welfare, and that was Prabhupada's move. To spread this movement, we should be free of fear, whether you're a sannyasi, grahastha, man, woman, child, whatever, free of fear, and just dynamically preach Krishna consciousness everywhere. Because there's a lot more to be done. A very small percentage of the people in this world are Krishna conscious. By Prabhupada's mercy, practically everyone's heard the Hare Krishna mantra. But we need to bring everybody to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. So, on that note, I think we'll end class on any quick questions or comments because it's time for prasadam, which is the real nectar in life. So, the nectar for which we are always anxious. So, any questions or comments? Yes, Krishna.
Could you just recall when you started the first preaching at college town?
Yeah.
Like, how did you grow up? How did you hear the first person to come along?
Well, I was just chanting, following Prabhupada's example, just chanting. And as I was chanting, people would come up and ask me what I was doing. And I would mention that basically I don't have a place to stay tonight. Do you know anybody who would give me a place to stay? So then this nice boy, you know, he invited me to his home. And then I went to his kitchen, because it's kitchen religion. That's the success here. One of the big items of success here in New Zealand is that we have a lot of good cooks, isn't it? Right? Your wife is one of the best cooks in the world, right? You should offer baisenses to her every day. So we have so many good cooks. So first thing I did is I went to his kitchen and prepared halwa, which I don't eat anymore. But anyway, so I prepared halwa and sweet rice. So then I made a whole meal for him. And then he ate, and he, wow, this is very nice. I offered to Krishna, of course. And then I would go out to the college campus and distribute whatever leftover halva sweet rice and also sweet balls. At that time, I thought prasadam meant sweets. I had no idea that there was something like vegetables or other things. In fact, even when I was a cook, some Sundays I would just make a whole feast, Sunday feast, just sweets, no vegetables, no breads, no nothing. Just like cake, malpura, sweet rice, halva, gajas. Those of you from India know what a gaja is. And I, you know, all these things, so that, like, the brahmacharis loved it. Because it probably helped a lot of them get married later on. But, so anyway, that's what I did, distributed prasadam. And preached a little bit Bhagavad Gita, distributed books too. And I distributed books, it's interesting, I had those books, I was able to send money to the BBT. I was sending a lot of money to the BBT because I was distributing so many books. So here I was without any fixed place of residence. And Krishna will take care of you. Lord Chaitanya says that the surrendering principles are to, first of all, of course, accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable, and to understand the Lord is always protecting and always maintaining you. And of course, the hardest one is to always be meek and humble. I haven't mastered that one yet. And then the last one is to have no separate interests other than the service of the Supreme Lord. So any one of us, you know, if we go out and preach. Of course, we don't have to be so austere. You can take a little money with you. You can take your car. In the beginning days, we were just hitchhiking. We didn't have cars. Just hitchhike. I mean, Krishna took my car away the first week I joined the movement. I was so proud of my car. I had an MG Midget, you know, a little sports car. And Krishna smashed it 3 days after I joined the Krishna movement. And I'm still angry with Krishna for that. So anyway, so any of us, you know, if we go out and preach, Krishna will take care of us. There's no doubt about it. I mean, do your duty, yet, you know, if you're a householder, do your duty, take care of your family. But whatever spare time you have, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we were mentioning this the other day on his appearance day, that he would always keep a watch. Not a wristwatch, a pocket watch. And he would always be consulting it just to make sure he had time for preaching. He would wake up at 10 o'clock at night after going taking rest at 8 and basically write the whole night, study the whole night, his poetry. So if you actually manage your time properly, you have plenty of time for preaching, even if you have so many other responsibilities. There's 24 hours a day. I mean, at most you're sleeping 8 hours, right? At most, if you're real enthusiastic. And then, how many hours a day did you eat? 4 hours? No, let's say an hour. An hour of eating a day, so that's 8, 9. And then, listen, even if you work a job, that's another 8 hours. Okay, 9 and 8 is 17, right? And then how many more hours are left? 7. 7 more hours. 7 more hours. So you take a little time for talking on the mobile phone, another hour. And then you have 6 hours for preaching. Even if you're working the job, isn't it? And that's being lenient. So, a word to the wise. So, anyway, so that's the point. So any other quick questions? Hare Krishna. Yes. Okay, so basically the Varnashram system means to work according to your propensity, your psychophysical nature. And as far as, you know, taking sannyasa and everything, we don't recommend that. ISKCON has had some interesting experiences about people taking sannyas, right? But Prabhupada gave a lot of people sannyas in the beginning because it was an emergency situation, but most of those personalities didn't make it. We were talking about how many sannyasis are still there from the early days. So generally the injunction is Stanistata Shrutikatam Tanvan Manobir. Remain where you are and preach Krishna consciousness. And so even Prabhupada said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the preferable sannyas or renunciation when one gets older is called Kshetra sannyas, where one serves Krishna along with his wife and family. And they preach or they take care of the deities. So that's actually preferable. So you ladies don't have to worry. We're not going to convince your husbands to take sannyas. Otherwise, I'd have nowhere to go for prasadam. Right? I mean, I'd be in trouble. Come here, where would I go? I just have to go begging at the temple. And Kalas would just give me sweets. So don't worry about it. And yeah, we're not really following the typical Vardashram and ISKCON. What we're really following is that people should be engaged according to their psychophysical nature. If someone likes to teach, they should teach. If someone likes to manage, they should manage. If someone likes to fight, they can fight the other devotees. No, not really. That's a joke. If someone likes to do business for Krishna. Prabhupada said, if you're going to do business, make millions of dollars and give a good portion to Krishna. And if you like to work with your hands, we've got plenty of things. We've got gardening out here, right? Gardening, so many things to do. I mean, you have so much land, where's the vegetable garden? Right? You should have so much vegetables here you can sell to people. So many people, so much land, but you like supermarkets. I was in Fiji one time, and we were at this far-out island called Taviuni. Some of the devotees know this place because they were from Taviuni. And we were getting ready to take a plane. It was early in the morning, hadn't eaten breakfast. And what happened is the plane didn't arrive. I mean, this is at Fiji. Sometimes the planes don't arrive. Or the plane was 5 hours late. I mean, there's these little planes, you have three people in it and you have to help the pilot wind up the propeller. There's a rubber band, on the propeller, say. So it's a little plane. It arrived like 3 or 4 hours late. And so it was time for breakfast. And it was Sunday, and all the supermarkets were closed. And this is tropical islands where everything grows. Everything grows freely. So the devotee said, we can't have breakfast. The supermarket's closed. And I pointed out a banana tree, and I said, what's that? And they said, it's a banana tree. And I said, what grows on banana trees? And I said, they said, bananas. And I said, pick one, or pick a few for me. So they picked a few. Then in the ocean, there was a nut tree, too. Some really nice nut. You know those in Tokyo. I said, pick some nuts for me. And what's that? Oh, papaya tree. I said, pick some papayas. This is too high. I said, climb it. papaya trees are higher. So they climb it. So in the end, we had guava, papaya, nuts, bananas. It was a delicious breakfast. And the devotees learned they could eat without going to a supermarket. And that's in Fiji where everything grows like freely. So you should be growing things. If you like to work with your hands, get them dirty. It won't hurt you. So there's engagement for everything. That's Varnashram. Engagement for everything. Or if you want to preach, go out and preach, distribute books, go on Harinam. Wonderful. You have so much opportunity here for service. Okay, I think we have to end because it's time for prasadam, right? Okay, all glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Vishnu Mahotsava Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Sannyas Anniversary Ki Jai.